The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
And welcome to another edition of Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you on a Monday as the week gets started. And we're got some things on our mind this week that typically is the idea of this particular program. So I'm glad you're aboard. It's a funny thing when you do this a lot and you do a lot of radio and podcasting and different broadcasts. I get ideas during the week of, you know, themes or maybe directions to go. And if you listen to the Need to Know podcast here on TKR, you are well aware that where my mind goes sometimes is not what anybody expects. So I'm kind of like the Forrest Gump of podcasting, broadcasting. You never know what you're going to get because I don't even know what you're going to get. But hopefully we come up with a few cogent thoughts and things that you can think about and incorporate into your own analysis of everything that's going on. So I had kind of a general idea what I wanted to talk about this week, but sometimes it really comes together from sources that you don't really expect. And a lot of time that's on X, which of course used to be Twitter. I don't know how long we're going to have to call it X, formerly Twitter. That's what they still refer to themselves as, although it's been almost a year now since Elon made the change. A lot of times I would kind of peruse through that the night before or the morning of a broadcast, and you would come up with some tweets or some posts from some people that, you know, was kind of on the subject matter. And a lot of times I'm trying to think of the right term. Maybe it's sort of the glue that can tie in an idea with a theme. And I had that experience this morning from a most unlikely source. I will tell you that something that occurs to me a lot of times is something that probably a lot of people would just kind of ignore because they're either running to the bathroom or the kitchen or don't watch commercials. But commercials on television, on regular broadcasting, can be really an interesting source of kind of your hand on the pulse of what's going on. And I heard one this morning that I've probably heard before, but one of the opening lines in the commercial completely ties in what I want to talk about today. And I thought I would share that with you. And I've had the experience with this kind of operation of what they were advertising today. I think it's the first television spot I've seen, but I've been getting calls for the last, I don't know, almost a year, a couple of times a week. And I don't answer 800 calls or calls that I don't really recognize because there's so much of that going on where people are trying to call you and sign you up for all kinds of things and get you to make commitments. And so a lot of times there's a lot of false entities out there trying to mine some information from you so they can market whatever they're trying to get you to look at. You want to know what your email address is, etc. I've gotten to the point where if it's an 800 call or an 8, you know, whatever 66 call, or a lot of times my phone will of course label those with possible spam, which I'm sure all of yours does as well. But this television commercial was consistent with a product that they've been trying to get me to bite on. I get calls from all over the country, and when they leave a voicemail, I might get around at some point while I'm clearing voicemails to see what was this. And it might be 3 or 4 days later, but it's always somebody calling me from some kind of company, and it's all kinds of variety of names. And what they're trying to get me to do is call back because they have information that during COVID in 2020, I continued to operate my small business and qualify for benefits or payments, repayments, I guess. I don't know how they're repayments, but I qualify if I had four or more employees that continued on the payroll on a regular basis from the fall of 2021 or 2020 to the summer of 2022. And for every employee that I kept on, I'm in line to receive up to $26,000 for each one of them. Well, that sounds really good, but the problem is it's not my small business that I operate. I'm in charge of the Birmingham Racing Commission, which oversees the activities of the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. And yes, I kept my entire staff on during that time, but again, I don't qualify for any money from the government because it was not my small business. It wasn't coming out of my pocket. It wasn't my sacrifice. And I could probably fraudulently call one of these people back and say, yeah, I kept my entire staff on. I had nine people that, you know, were on the payroll the entire time. And I think it was even 10 at that point. So the bottom line is you say, are you nuts? You might be able to get $260,000. But again, I am not a small business operator. So, and I would think that would be a really ethical, departure from reality. If I was going to call and try to pass off, you know, my management position as ownership of a small business, I think it'd be fraudulent. Unfortunately, I think it shows you how easy it is, because let me straighten one thing out. This is not the government calling me. This is not somebody from Washington, one of the tens of thousands of bureaucrats that you and I don't vote for, that make a lot of the policies and regulations that we live with and suffer with each and every day. The politicians are bad enough, but the government lifers, the bureaucrats, the people in bureaus and agencies and department, they're by far worse, because we don't know who these people are. And in a lot of ways, they are completely in charge of our lives. So because the policies and procedures that they outline, like this, you know, government money. And here's the line that really got me going this morning that ties into what I wanted to talk about. And the line was, you may qualify for free government money. Well, let's think about that. Free government money. That's a nice concept. And it seems to me that just about all the news that comes out of Washington is legislative news about Congress, the House of Representatives, the Senate, coming up with millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, even billions of dollars for any number of things, despite the fact that our country has a $30 trillion with a T, trillion. And I would try to explain to you how much money that is, but I don't think we have time here in a basically 30-minute podcast to break it down from a mathematical standpoint. Trillion, $30 trillion deficits. That means we've spent $30 trillion more dollars than we have. But yet, I can qualify for free government money. There's no free government money. It's free Kip Kiefer's money. It's free your money. Pull out your paycheck stub. Of course, nobody still gets a check, but you can probably access that information online on your direct deposits for your job. Go down that column and see how much free money is taken from you for every paycheck you own. And it goes into the coffers of Washington, D.C., or in Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, etc. Everybody takes their cut. So this is not free government money because some bureaucrat somewhere, gave a house, a congressman or a senator the bright idea that we need to reward people through these big handouts that kept people on during COVID. We need to have a fund because, you know what, there was plenty of funding during that time when it was being money paid to people that didn't stay open, that that had to shut down, and there was payoffs, handouts for employees that were laid off during that time. People, I think, are still getting checks trickling in, and it really illustrates we're spending money we don't have. And I know a lot of you are probably listening, thinking, "Well, that really helped me during that time," and that's great. That is a role that government can step in. But the fact that they're still trying to pay people 4 years later, it really rubs me the wrong way when free government money is discussed, because it's not money that really needs to be distributed at this point. This thing's behind us. I think it's great that they now have decided that they need to give handouts to people that kept their businesses open instead of just doling out a bunch of money to people that did the opposite. But I can't come to grips with the fact that in a time where government spending is just completely out of control, these kind of programs. So with that point, that there is no such thing as free government money, because it's just distribution of money that you and I have thrown in the kitty there through the fact that we're employed, and every single American walk the streets, every car that passes, everybody on the street that you pass, go to a ball game, everybody sitting in that arena, go to church, everybody sitting in the sanctuary. All of those people, everybody you see and don't see, any footage from a big city of thousands of people, hustling and bustling around, all of those people have contributed and continue to contribute with every paycheck to this federal government that just spends it like a drunken sailor faster than it even comes in. And obviously faster than it comes in, because they've already spent $30 trillion that we don't have, that goes on the books. It's like, well, just put that on our tab. Well, folks, the tab is out of control. It is enormous, and it's growing all the time. All these debates right now, the big hot item is that the Republicans in the House of Representatives have finally taken a stand against this ridiculous situation on our southern border. Federal government is not supposed to do a lot of things, but one of the things that they're constitutionally obligated to do is protect the sovereignty of our borders. It's the fundamental operation that any country has to have to survive. Letting people pour in like a wide open fire hose is not sustainable. You can't have this influx of 7, 8, 9, even now some people estimate 10 million people during this administration just strolling into the country under the auspices that they are fleeing some kind of danger in their home country. I've talked about this before. These people do not come from Senegal and Chad and the Middle East, Syria and Yemen and Iraq and Afghanistan. They don't walk here, folks. They don't just come straggling in, walk on water across massive oceans and show up on the Mexican Peninsula only to be bussed or take trains to the point of the American border. They are transported, and when they show up, they've got written instructions of who to contact. They have cell phones. They're not, they're not straggling in with tattered clothing. They're wearing designer jeans and shirts. These are not people that are coming from hellish situations. Some of them may be, but the bulk of them are recruits. They're recruited to go to wherever they can fly out of, and they're transported, and it's no out of pocket for them. They are given money for their arrival. A lot of them have these preloaded like Visa cards. that, you know, you can put, you've seen the gift cards, you can put $1,000 on them. A lot of these people have $5,000 on these gift cards, and they have to have some money because the people that they contact when they get to the border are these Mexican cartels. There's two major ones that have, of course, depended on the drug industry, producing particularly crystal meth, but cocaine, all kinds of other drugs. And that has been their cottage industry for many, many years. And now they've made a transition to an even better business. They're still sending in their drugs, a lot of times laced with fentanyl, which now is approaching 200,000 Americans killed in the last 7 years from fentanyl exposure. Fentanyl is a cheap compound manufactured in China and shipped to Mexico. And it is mixed in because the ingredients for that in meth or cocaine or whatever else that they are pills is a cheaper compound that they can make more profit on. And the downside, of course, is it can be deadly to a lot of people, particularly people that are abusing it. But even there's documented cases of people that weren't even regular drug users who had one exposure, and every individual is different. Fentanyl can have disastrous results. I think I told you about this time last year about somebody that's I consider a pretty bright person, and we talk about things, and I mentioned fentanyl, and she didn't know what it was. And it's certainly not a new term, but a lot of people really don't know. If you've got kids, you need to impress upon them that if anybody hands you anything at a party, any kind of pill, any kind of illicit drug, anything that you don't readily know what it is, do not take those things because you don't know where they came from and you don't know what's in them. So let's get back on the real trail here. But I think that's a good cautionary tale for everybody. It's not a good idea because, again, they don't care if it's going to cause harm to you. They just get their profit. But now these cartels equip some of these people. They will give them discounts at the border because the next step of the deal, getting them into these big organized groups to come across the border, and a lot of people that are going to come up are going to be flagged if they're held up for various violations of law, even being on the terrorist watch list. People that want to avoid that, these cartels can come up with these original and creative ways to get you into the country where you don't even have to encounter any of the border people. The long and short of the story was these cartels now are making more money than they've ever made before. And in those negotiations, if you're willing to try to carry a backpack of drugs in and drop them at some kind of location and they know who you are, they give you different classifications of wristbands. And they say, you know, if you double cross us, we will find you. And I think that threat's enough where people, you know, pretty much toe the line. But this is a serious issue that's happening on our southern border. And the border integrity is just completely out of control. So our government is failing miserably in the primary reason that you have a federal government. But the problem is, as I just described, they're failing on purpose because this is exactly what they're promoting. They want this influx of all of these people. Now the count is 171 different countries have had people from Africa and Asia and the Middle East and all over the world who are now in our country. We don't know where they are. We really don't know who they are. A lot of them are given a slip of paper that says, okay, you got to come in and to court on June 17th, 2028, you know, three, four, 5 years down the line, make your case for asylum. Come on, folks, those people, how many of them are going to, you know, they go to New York or they migrate to Boston or they go up to L.A. or San Francisco. They're not going to come back to a Texas federal court, or wherever that they're expected to appear. Once they're in the country, they're not interested in being certified. This is not, and it drives me crazy when people say this is illegal immigration. This is not immigration. And I have said this many times. Immigration is a legal process. If you look up the definition, those two words, legal process, are in the definition. This is illegal. This is people coming into the country with no documentation who are just turned loose because, again, that's the agenda of this administration and this government and the people pulling the strings behind the scenes. This is what they want. They want this influx of people who are not citizens of this country to spread out all corners of the country and start to settle in and become residents. And their real warped agenda is hopefully, and there are states that are already doing this by issuing IDs and driver's licenses, they automatically start registering these people to vote. Well, there's constitutional violation number two by this administration, because citizens of the United States are the only people who are allowed to vote. The Democrats know, the left knows, and again, it's not Republican Democrat, but the Democrat Party is the one that's been hijacked by this movement. But they know that they have alienated tons of Americans. If you look at polling right now, Hispanics, African-Americans, suburban women, a lot of the groups that helped carry Biden to a victory in 2020 are now totally anti-Biden because they know what a terrible mistake they made electing this, you know. I'm trying to think of a not so unflattering term. I thought of a couple of really bad ones, but basically he's a zombie, folks. I've made it very clear. It's not a question of age. It's a question of functionality. You can be 81 as Joe Biden is and be sharp as a tack and still very productive. That ship has sailed for Joe Biden. He wasn't particularly in his prime a very sharp tack. He has never had a real job. He was elected to the city council in Podunk, Delaware, somewhere in his 20s. He worked his way up to getting into Congress and being elected to the Senate in his 30s. And so he's been riding the government gravy train his entire career. And he's also been riding the gravy train of selling the influence of whatever office he's occupying. If you listen and take seriously all of this rebuttal from all these people on the left, that Joe Biden, there's no proof that links him to his brother or his son's activity or has anything or any knowledge or any benefit from their, and I love this, quote, foreign business, unquote. There's some problems with that. First of all, what foreign business did James Biden and Hunter Biden, Joe's son, what business were they in? What product were they selling? What service were they delivering? They're not in business. They don't have a company. They don't manufacture anything. And please don't tell me that Hunter's making millions of dollars off of his artwork, which is blowing compounds and paint with a straw on a piece of paper. It came out in Senate hearings last week that only two people, both massively large Democratic donors, have been the buyers of these paintings. That's come out now. It's not, there's no market for these. These people are in it to get something, and they're certainly part of this entire movement. So there is no business overseas. Joe Biden standing up with, I never discussed my son's foreign business. What business? And a lot of times, while Hunter was going to conduct his business, he was flying on Air Force Two with some of that free government money we talked about. You and I were footing the bill to send Hunter over to China to shake them down for a $1 billion investment in an annuity firm. Although Hunter Biden had no experience and no knowledge of that, it was you and I that sent him over to Afghanistan. I should have said in Ukraine in this case, sent him over to Ukraine and got him the opportunity to be put on the board of Burisma, a giant oil company, despite the fact that this guy is a vowed drug addict who had been kicked out of the United States Navy. And yet, with no experience in gas and oil, nothing to contribute whatsoever, he's put on the board of a Ukrainian oil company. And Joe Biden later on intercedes when a prosecutor, who's the equivalent of our attorney general in the United States, is investigating this business, predicated on the fact that Hunter Biden and another good friend of his, Devin Archer, was on the board. Scratch your head a little and wonder, I guess it was his extensive business dealings that got him that gig. But folks, come on. Joe Biden, his second home in Delaware at Rehoboth Beach, he paid $3.9 million for that. His salary all those years in government was in the high hundred thousands. I don't know what he made for vice president, probably about 240 or 250. That's a lot of money. And that's a lot of money that you can live a quality life. But where did Joe Biden get $3.9 million in cash to pay for his home in Delaware when he already had another estate? Then he bought his beach house for $3.9 million in cash. There's nothing going on there. The Biden family business is rotten to the core. And anybody who thinks that Joe Biden is behind any of these policies that are happening, like the border policy, like this recruitment and shipping of all these people from all over the world, Joe Biden has no idea what's going on. Joe Biden is a figurehead. He was drafted to be in this job because all the other candidates in 2020 for the presidency on the Democratic side were so extreme left that they knew mainstream Americans would never go for that. And it ties in with why they're importing all these other people. They need to refresh their voter base with millions of new potential voters because they have alienated and lost so many of the groups that have carried them for so long. Because these people now are fully cognizant of what's going on and what the deal is. These people, the people really pulling the strings, are basically groups that have been around since the beginning of civilization. Groups of people that are pro-government, that think they know more than everybody else knows about how to run things. They know better than you do. You're not qualified to make decisions for yourself. You need to just get in line and shut up and do what you're told. These regimes, these Marxist movements of people that are just desperate to be in power all the time, because that puts them in a controlling position and it gives them unlimited access to money you're making and things you're producing. And it gets worse as it moves on, because more and more of the freedoms and the rights and all the things you aspire to do get taken away. And they're already doing that in any number of areas, like this whole farce about climate change. They're trying to take away any fuel-powered entities that you have, whether it be your lawnmower or your gas stove or your automobiles, and go to this electric option that is not as efficient and is not as reliable. Look what happened in Chicago last week. All these people with electric cars They were freezing up so bad they couldn't start. And if they did get them started and went to the recharging stations, all of those machines were totally useless because in those extreme temperatures, they didn't work. And it's not just winter. In excessive heat in the summer, you have the same kind of breakdowns. And yet Joe Biden, it's Joe Biden's agenda. Joe Biden doesn't know what day it is. He only is concerned about what kind of ice cream he can have. Joe Biden's administration and the people pulling the strings, predominantly leftovers from Barack Obama and Obama himself, have mandated that all the car dealers, all the car manufacturers need to just be cranking out electric cars by 2030. Folks, that's only 6 years from now. We are not near ready. And having the experience of the electric car recently in Las Vegas, we were having to charge that thing just about every other day. And it's a pain in the rear end. It's not an easy procedure. Once with just down to like no juice left, we finally got to a charging station, backed it in. This was a rental electric Tesla. Backed it in, went out to hook it up, and found out that we needed, for this particular kind of charger, an adapter for this Tesla. Went through the car, found nothing like that, and really had to struggle, had to ask somebody who came out with a Tesla plugged in. The first guy completely flat refused. The second guy actually allowed us to use his adapter for just a few minutes so we could get to the next place. And we did get it charged finally, but it took about 2 hours of our time. And it's just not practical. And there was a caravan of government electric vehicles in the summertime. They were going to take a tour of four or five states. By the halfway point of their trip, about half the vehicles had broken down or ceased to operate, or they couldn't find a charging station on the way. This is not technology that's ready, and it's not necessary. The fact that this administration is not using the abundance of power sources that we have, fossil fuels and all kinds of other highly efficient methods of energy now, predicated on this terrifying scare that man's existential crisis now, the biggest crisis in the world, is not nuclear weapons or dirty bombs or biological warfare. It is our climate that we are destroying, a planet that's been here 4.5 billion years. In the blink of an eye of our lifetimes, we have personally been responsible, in America predominantly. Let's leave out the fact that China and India are the biggest polluters by far in the world. China is manufacturing all of these swell new products for car batteries and solar panels, and they're doing it powered by coal power plants. The hypocrisy is beyond belief, but China is certainly one of the major entities financing so much of what's going on the planet right now, in that same desire that the people here are pursuing, this Marxist obsession with creating something along the lines of total control and government complete influence on everyone's lives, taking away individual liberties, which most of the world looks at us with disgust because, you know, what an audacious experiment America was. They actually think they can be a representative of republic with a government of the people, by the people, for the people. That's absurd. People can't make their own decisions. They need to be herded like sheep and pointed in the right direction, told where they can graze, be dictated to when they come and go. That's the dream. And I've told you that since day one on this podcast. This is not Republican versus Democrat. This is not red versus blue. This is not conservative versus liberal. This is the government against the people. Ronald Reagan said it. I've reminded you of it many times. Where America is a country with a government, it can never be the other way around. This administration with their free government money and all of their different procedural methods of letting the American economy and inflation just go through the roof, of the refusal to let us produce energy, of the wide open borders to try to bring millions of people into this country to alter the fabric of our founding principles. These people are looking to be government entitlement recipients, and that's exactly what they want government to be. And it, you know, Margaret Thatcher once said, the problem with Marxism, socialism, is that eventually you run out of other people's money to spend. And that is the course we're on unless we take corrective action. This has got to stop, and free government money. I could not have heard more appropriate words this morning to kind of make that point to you today. So that's basically need to know for this week. Open your eyes. Make sure your mind is tuned in and question everything. That's your responsibility as a citizen of this country. You don't just sit back and shrug and stick your head in the sand and say, well, everything's going to be all right. This is just a business as usual. We are not in a business as usual. We are not in a time where everything is just merrily cruising along. We've got people trying to destroy our way of life, and the quicker Americans get hip to that trip, the better we're all going to be. I'm heartened that a lot of voters that are being polled now in Iowa, New Hampshire, as this process begins to hopefully get this administration out of the White House and put somebody in charge that is going to favor Americans and the things that our country is built upon. You know, I'm heartened by the fact that a lot of people seem to be fully cognizant right now of what's happening. But those who are not, people that say, well, I don't really pay much attention to politics. Well, you better damn well start paying attention, because your life and livelihood and the future, and this is the big one, the future of your children and grandchildren is on the line here, folks. And I don't think I can say it with any more urgency than that. It's time to reestablish America. You know, you hear Joe Biden, when they keep him awake long enough or he shows up for work, a guy that's taken more than 440 days away from the White House in the couple of years he's been in office. This is a guy that, I mean, he works less than anybody that I can think of. And last week he was in Washington all week, but he only made two public appearances. So I assume that means the rest of the time he was either eating ice cream or napping, because his wife was out campaigning and he had Kamala out with all of her brilliance, the vice president making a fool of herself with every time she opens her mouth. This is an American problem. This is everybody's problem, and we damn well need to fix it and get back on course here. Remember, they say that the problem in this country is white supremacy and MAGA Republicans. MAGA, make America great. Yeah, that's really something to be concerned about. People that want to have the best lives they can for themselves and their children and their children's children. They want to make their country great. They've always felt like their country was great. We need to make some more moves to continue to move it to that greatness, but completely junking it and becoming just a hellhole third world country that is run by an elite group that thinks they know better is not the course we need to be on. I'm Kip Kiefer. Thank you for tuning in this week to Need to Know. No free government money, no free lunch, everybody. We got to get out there and earn it, but let's do that. And again, everybody put their shoulder to the wheel, and let's turn our country back in the direction that it was intended to go by our brilliant founding fathers. Have a great week. We will be back next Monday. Don't forget, Kiefer and Curry this week. We will have a brand new broadcast, and you never know. Speaking of shows, you never know what you're going to get. That's another one. But Tony and I like teaming up each week and talking about pertinent subjects, so we look forward to that. And on Saturday mornings, if you're in the Alabama vicinity here in Birmingham or points elsewhere in Alabama, you can tune to 3340 ABC, 10:30 a.m. I actually was holding a Cayman crocodile this past week and didn't even flinch. It was quite an interesting experience, and you never know what's going to be on that show either. So Kip Kiefer, Tony Curry, and all of our cast of characters always like coming to you for information and entertainment. So tune us in on ABC 3340 or check out our YouTube channel that also has that program, The Starting Lineup. Have a great week, everybody. See you next Monday.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.